Amen. We're going to pick up our study in Luke 21, verse 20. We're going to cover verses 20 to 24. That's going to be the middle of the tribulation period. So let's look at this. Verse 20. Jesus said, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near." Now remember, in Ezekiel, this just came to my mind, it wasn't on my notes, but this is what I love about studying prophecy all these years and the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Ezekiel chapter 39, I believe it's verse 9, it says that all the armies that are going to come down into Jerusalem are going to be around Jerusalem. They're going to be surrounded with armies. This is going to go on through the 7-year period of the tribulation. Jesus said, "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance." Remember, God said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. "That all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land of Israel, and wrath upon this people, the Jewish people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now here is a lot to unwrap. I mean, this here, we could probably go on the rest of this year and unwrap this in the Old and the New Testament. But I'm going to kind of give you the drive-by on this. Luke, being a Gentile, being a doctor, a physician, you know how doctors are. They articulate everything down to the T. Luke is giving us some things here that aren't found in the other three Gospels. In those passages in the other three Gospels, we only find things that are kind of similar. But Luke is sharing with us some other things. But here's what we do understand. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, we're referring to things that were going on in the middle of the tribulation. Especially when Jesus spoke of the abomination of desolation being set up in the temple. That's the third temple, the tribulation temple. And with that, the Antichrist, who will be the world ruler at that time, will at that time in the middle of the tribulation begin to persecute Israel, the Jewish people. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to take some time. I want to go over what is going to happen in the middle of that 7-year time period, 3.5 years in. It's going to be a terrible period. I'm going to have you guys float around on some scriptures, so I hope you can get there and turn with me. But probably the most clearest text of what is going to happen we find in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. So what I want you to do is turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. It's right after Harold and George. No, I'm just kidding. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24. This is a lot of heavy stuff. I mean, I'm going to break down this passage here to tie it in with Luke and Matthew and Mark and what they're saying about the middle of the tribulation period. But to understand where we are prophetically as a church, and also the Jewish nation of Israel, man, we have to understand this text. This is where it all begins, right here. Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people, the Jewish people, and for your holy city, the city of Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, for sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to complete it, to fulfill it, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand. Now remember, Daniel is being told this, that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, until Messiah, the Prince, until Jesus, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Jesus would be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war of desolations are determined. Then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is the 1 week of 70 years. This is the 70th week of Daniel. We'll get into this. But in the middle of that week, 3.5 years in, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. Remember, the Jews are going to build that third temple, and they're going to be allowed to sacrifice and offer again there in Jerusalem. It's going to be during the tribulation. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the week, the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Now, first of all, we need to understand that the 70 weeks that we began with here in the very beginning in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, this is key. This is absolute key to understanding this prophecy. The 70 weeks is not speaking of weeks of 7 days. 1 week has 7 days in it. It's not speaking about that. The word seven from the original Hebrew text here in Daniel, the text is, it means a unit of measure. A unit of measure. 70 weeks is speaking of 70 sevens. Because a week has 7 days, right? 70 weeks, 70 sevens. And in the context of this verse, we know Daniel has been reading the prophet Jeremiah about years, 70 years. So Daniel ties this together. He understands through Jeremiah the prophet what these 70 weeks are. Let me give you the verses that no doubt Daniel read. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This is where God begins. This is where he starts with it. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, the Jews are going to be in Babylon for 70 years. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar took them captive to Babylon. God says, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. The reason why God gave them 70 years of captivity in Babylon, and again, you have to understand this to understand the 70 weeks of Daniel, was because they violated 70 sabbatical years. 70 sabbatical years. Breaking that down would be 70 sevens, 70 weeks, or a total of 490 years. 490 years. So during those 490 years, Israel had violated exactly 7 sabbatical years. I hope you guys are following me with this. And God said they would go into captivity for that 70 years in Babylon. We read in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 20 to 21. And those who escaped from the sword, he, Nebuchadnezzar, carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay, here's the breakdown. 1 week in this 70 weeks, 70 years, 1 week is 7 years. 70 weeks is 490 years. And the 70 weeks of 490 years are divided into three sections. Again, you got to understand this. That 7 years, 70 weeks is 490 years. 7 years is 1 week. 490 years, God said, to fulfill the 70 Sabbaths that they violated on the land. So it's broke down into three periods. You have 7 weeks, you have 62 weeks, and you have 1 week. 62 and 7 is 69 weeks, plus 1 week is 70 weeks, the 70 weeks of Daniel. Are you guys with me so far? Okay. The problem Daniel was having is he wasn't sure as to how the end of the 70 years of captivity would fit into the long period of Gentile world dominion. This is what the visions in chapter 7 and chapter 8 had brought out. Daniel thought at the end of the 70 years his people would be returned to the land, the promised Messiah would come, and the kingdom, which had been promised to David, would be established. So the 70 weeks of years, or 77s, answer two questions. First of all, Israel's kingdom was not going to come right away. It wasn't going to come right away. These 77s are broken up to fit into the times of the Gentiles. And I'll get into that in a minute, what that is all about. The Hebrew word for determined means cutting off. It means these 77s are to be cut off, as we're going to see in our study. The 77s for Israel and the times of the Gentiles will both come to an end at the same time. It's going to happen at the end of the great 7-year tribulation period, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. When he comes back, we've been at the marriage supper for 7 years. The rapture had taken place. The Antichrist came on the scene, signed a 7-year peace treaty. I believe the guy's alive. He's somewhere in Europe right now. I believe he's alive, just waiting to come on the scene after the church is removed. And we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're coming back with the Lord at the end of the 7 years at the Battle of Armageddon. That great battle, where he cleans house, he burns everything and destroys it, except for the earth will still be here, and he renews the earth like it was in the days of Adam and Eve, and he sets up his kingdom and we reign with him for 1,000 years. Now keep in mind, and again, this is important to know and understand Bible prophecy. The 70 weeks, God said what to Daniel? These concern your people. Your people, Daniel, Israel, the Jewish people. And they concern your holy city, which is Jerusalem. Now here in these verses in Daniel, six things are to be accomplished in those 70 weeks or 490 years. And as we're going to see right now, today, 69 of those weeks of years have already been fulfilled. What's left is 1 week of years, 7 years, yet to be fulfilled, the great tribulation period of which the church will not be here. According to Daniel, six things are to be accomplished. Number one, what's he say? To finish the transgression. What's he talking about? He's referring to Israel's transgression. Israel's sin. Christ's cross provided the redemption for the sin of the nation. But we know, according to history, not all the Jews accepted it. That's why Jesus was cut off. You see, if they would have accepted Jesus as their Messiah, we would have went right into the millennial kingdom at that point. But they didn't. That's why Jesus sat there on the Mount of Olives and said, Man, how many times would I have gathered you like a hen does her chicks and you were not willing? He goes, now your house is left to you what? Desolate. That was it. They rejected him. They rejected their Messiah, and that was it. It opened the door for the 2,000-year age of the church, of which, church, we are in the final years of that dispensation. It's been almost 2,000 years now since the church was founded there on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Today, God's word has gone out to the ends of the earth. Today, God's word is declaring that there is redemption for all mankind. For anybody who wills can come. But in that last week of years, the Great Tribulation period, that 7 years, we're told by God in Zechariah 12, verse 10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. They're going to see Jesus. And when they see the wounds in his hands and in his feet, they're going to say, where were you wounded? And Jesus is going to say, I received these wounds from the house of my friends. And the Jews are going to realize, oh, he was our Messiah that came 2,000 years ago. Jesus was him. And they're going to realize. Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Sin and uncleanness. I mean, that's exactly to finish a transgression. That's what that means. The second thing we see here, to be accomplished, to make an end of sins. To make an end of sins. The national sins of Israel will come to an end at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Remember, his first coming, he came as a baby. Second coming, he's coming as judge. He's coming to clean house, and praise God, we're going to be riding with him. Amen? We're not going to be on the receiving end of that. We're going to be with him. I mean, they're sinners just like everyone else. The Jewish people, yeah, they're God's chosen people, but now we're his chosen people, Jew and Gentile alike, that make up the church. That's why Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble. But he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. Jacob is who? Israel. Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they will be saved out of it. The third thing to be accomplished, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, during the period of the 70 weeks of years, God has provided redemption through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That redemption is not only for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. It's for the entire world. Every person that will ever be born on this earth or has been born, that redemption has been for them. All they had to do was receive it. Receive it and live it. The fourth thing to be accomplished, to bring in everlasting righteousness. This is referring again to the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the 490 years to establish the millennial kingdom. It's when we will reign with him for 1,000 years. 69 of those weeks of years have been fulfilled. And I'm going to show you in a moment that. The fifth thing to be accomplished, to seal up the vision and prophecy. At that time, everything is going to be fulfilled. Everything. This prophecy, as well as all other prophecies and scriptures, will totally come to completion. The last thing to be accomplished, the sixth, is to anoint the most holy. What is Daniel being told here? What is this about? This has reference to the anointing of the Holy of Holies in the millennial temple. Remember, Solomon built the first temple. Herod the Great rebuilt the second. The third one is going to be the tribulation temple. That's in that 7 years. The fourth one is that temple in the 1,000 years when we reign with Christ. He's going to be in that temple. So this is reference to that future temple for Daniel's people to understand. This is going to continue. This isn't the end with you being held captive in Babylon. There is a future kingdom that is coming. And Daniel is being made sure of that. The prophet Ezekiel spoke of this in Ezekiel chapters 41 and 46. This is where we get probably the clearest picture of how the moments that we are living in these final moments of the church age, is going to work out and turn out. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Jewish people come back into the land after they've been dispersed and scattered throughout the whole world. We know that happened in 70 AD when Titus led Rome in and burnt down the city and the temple. The Jews split. Well, guess what? 2,000 years later, which is the age of the church, they came back into their land May 14th, 1948, and declared their sovereignty. We are a nation of Israel again. Ezekiel 36 is fulfilled. Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. Remember, Ezekiel saw these dry bones, and these bones were laying all over the place, and God told him, prophesy to the bones. And the bones came together. And the flesh and the veins and everything came into these bodies. The bodies were laying there. And God breathed into them and they stood on their feet, a huge army. It represented once Israel came back into the land, God was going to do a work and he was going to raise up the people in the land again. Which he has been doing for 72 years now. Since Israel has been in the land. And then in Ezekiel 37 there, God says, take two sticks. Take the stick of Judah and the stick of Israel, the northern and southern kingdoms. How did they get two kingdoms? Well, it was Solomon's son that was harsh to the people. And so the tribes of Israel said, you know what? You can have your own house, David. David can have his own house. We're leaving. So we know that Judah and Benjamin stayed together and the other 10 nations formed Israel, the northern and southern kingdoms. They've been that way ever since. But today, God said, take those two sticks, Judah and Israel, and make them one. Today there is one king. There is one president there in Israel over all the Jewish people. We saw that happen. Ezekiel 38 and 39. This events in those two chapters put us right where we are today. It says in the latter days, not in the last days, in the latter days, after the last days. The last days have been for 2,000 years. The age of the church. There's going to be a major war from a country north of Israel, a huge country. You look on a map, who is that? Russia. It's Russia. And they're going to come in with the Arab people from the northern Israel, right where Hezbollah is, on the border of Lebanon and Israel. Hamas, all these other groups there in Gaza. I mean, they're all going to come in. But major from the north. Where is Russia and Iran right now? They're in Syria. They can come right in. Man, church, this can happen at any time. If anything, it ought to excite you that we're getting that close to being with our Lord, man. I can't wait. Oh, no more house payments. Can you imagine that? Here's the key to understanding where the time frame is when this war is going to happen. Because it's going to fit in with what I'm going to read to you, what Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in a moment. Here's the key. Many people have said, okay, well, they're going to have this war, but it could be in the middle of the tribulation. Or, Rick, how do you know? It could be the war, the battle of Armageddon that Jesus is talking about. How do you know? Let me run this down. Ezekiel 36, people come back in the land, the Jewish people, after 2,000 years. Ezekiel 37, they now have a president over them, one king over them. The people have come back into the land. Ezekiel 38 and 39, this major war is going to happen. Ezekiel 39 verse 9 is the key to when this war is going to happen. It says that they will burn the weapons of this war. Are you ready for this? Your hair is going to stand up on your neck. They're going to burn the weapons of that war for 7 years. If that happened at the Battle of Armageddon, you're going to tell me they're going to be burning weapons 7 years into the thousand-year millennium? It's got to happen in the beginning. It's got to happen in the beginning. The church is going to be raptured. That war is going to take place. And out of that war, the Antichrist is going to sign not a 10-year peace treaty, not a 5-year, 20, or 1 year, a 7-year peace treaty. It's got to happen at that war, because Ezekiel 40, right after that, is the measurements of the temple and its courts, speaking of the fourth temple, which is in the millennial reign. Ezekiel 41 to 46 is a millennial temple. Ezekiel 47, 48 is the boundaries of the land and of the 12 tribes of Israel that will be dispersed on the land. And they're going to have all the land. Nobody's going to divide it in that 1,000 years. They're not just going to have a little strip, a piece of land. They're going to have all the way the borders to the Euphrates River in towards Egypt. I mean, it is just going to cover it all, what God had given to them. So let's go back now to the starting point. When is this supposed to start for this 490 years? It's essential to the correct understanding of Daniel's prophecy here. Since this period goes into the times of the Gentiles, it has to fit into history. It has to. It has to originate from a date connected with the times of the Gentiles. Now, I've got around 18 to 30 some commentaries. I could go nuts, man, with studying. There's just so much there. Many have suggested different starting points. But you know what I like doing? What scriptures say. I like sticking with the scriptures. You guys agree with me? You'll see the decree of Artaxerxes in the 20th year of his reign in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Best meets the requirements of Daniel's prophecy. The commandment to rebuild the city of Jerusalem was given in the month Nisan, 445 BC. Write these dates down. Write all this down. I want you to check them out. I want you to research. You are going to see we are right on target for the rapture at any moment, man. With what's going on the news and in the Middle East and with the nations, guys, we're on target, man. It's exciting. That's the date that began the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9. The 70 weeks or 77s or 490 years. That's when it began. The first 7 weeks, the first week of years, the first 7 weeks from the 70 or 49 years bring us from the rebuilding of that wall in Jerusalem to the end of the last book in the New Testament, which is the book of what? Malachi. 49 years it took them, that 1 week of years. 49 years took us to 397 BC and to Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. Okay, so that's 1 week of years. We've got 62 weeks left. Where do those come from? 63. We got 62, and we have the 1 week of years left, the tribulation period. So where'd the 62 weeks come in, of years? Hold on your horses, you're getting ahead of me. These were troublesome times, as seen by Nehemiah and Malachi. 62 weeks, here it is. Or 434 years. Bring us from the end of the Old Testament Malachi to the New Testament, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. 1 week of years, 49 years, rebuilding Jerusalem to the end of the Old Testament. The end of the Old Testament to the New Testament when Jesus came. The Messiah was 434 years. Now you have 69 of those 70 weeks of Daniel fulfilled. So here it is. From the first of the month, Nisan, that's when the commandment went forth to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, to the 10th of Nisan, April 6th, our day, AD 32, when Jesus the Messiah rode into Jerusalem on a colt, our 173,880 days. Dividing them according to the Jewish year of 360 days, you get 483 years from rebuilding that wall. In the New Testament, Jesus going into Jerusalem, you get 483 years or 69 sevens. Are you guys with me? Are you following me with this? Let me go over this. The command went forth to restore and build Jerusalem March 14th, 445 BC. And the 69 weeks, or 483 years, were fulfilled on the 6th of April, 32 AD. Here's what that means. 173,880 days, or seven times 69 prophetic years of 360 days of the Jewish calendar, from Nehemiah beginning to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, was fulfilled to the very day when Jesus rode in Jerusalem on a donkey as the Messiah on Palm Sunday. That's why Jesus said, if you only knew the time of your visitation, if you knew what was prophesied to Daniel in the Old Testament, you would have known that when I came in on this Palm Sunday, I was your Messiah. I was your Messiah. Now, I like this. You guys have heard this. I've done this in the past when I taught through Daniel. I want to bring it up because this is important to understand the significance what Jesus has done. In his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, many of you know Josh McDowell. Listen to what he writes. He says, we find that the chance that any one man, might have lived down to the present time and fulfilled eight prophecies, only eight prophecies, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That would be 1 in 1 with 17 zeros after it. Remember, one man doing eight prophecies. In order to comprehend this staggering probability, Peter Stoner illustrates it. Take 10 to the 17th power silver dollars. You guys seen silver dollars, right? Lay them on the face of Texas. You guys know how big Texas is, right? Huge state. They will cover the entire state 2 feet deep. Now mark one of those silver dollars with a mark. Stir the whole mass thoroughly in the whole state of Texas. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wants, go wherever he wants, but he has to pick up that one silver dollar that is marked. Think about that. The chance of him getting right, the right one, is the same as the prophet's writing eight prophecies and having them all come true in any one man from their day to the present time. Here's the mind blower. G- Jesus didn't fulfill 8 prophecies. He fulfilled 61 major prophecies. Just above and beyond any proof that he is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah, that he is God, that he is our Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 42, if you had known, man, with tears, if you had known, even this very day, the things which belong to your peace, but now, because he was rejected, but now they are hid from your eyes. Between the 69th week and the 70th week, 2 major events are to take place. Number 1, Messiah will be cut off. That's what it says there in Daniel. What was that? That was our Lord's crucifixion, the mystery and the truth of the gospel. Jesus said in John 3, verses 14 to 19, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, remember the pole with the serpent on it? Remember a plague broke out among the people? And God told Moses, he said, hey, Mo, come here, man, hurry up. Get a pole and put a serpent on it and hold it up to the people. Anybody that has been bitten that are going to die, if they look up to that pole, they'll be saved. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. There's your assurance this morning, Christian. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world, and men love darkness. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Second major prophecy, of course, destruction of Jerusalem. History records took place in 70 AD when Titus led Rome to Jerusalem and burned down the city and the temple. Didn't Jesus say that would happen? Mark 13, verse 2, and Jesus answered and said, do you see these great buildings? He was pointing to the temple. He said, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. 69 weeks of years have been fulfilled, church. There is 1 week left, speaking of the 70th week of Daniel. It's a period of 7 years. It's a time that is yet to come. I believe it's just before us. And it doesn't immediately follow after the 69 weeks of years that are already fulfilled. The time gap between the 69th week and the 70th week of years are what? The age of grace of the church. The body of Christ. I mean, it was a mystery God had hidden in the Old Testament. None of the Old Testament prophets prophesied about this. It was hidden to them. And it wasn't revealed until the time of Christ and of the apostles. So right now, according to Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, those 3 chapters, Israel has been partially blinded and temporarily set aside. Why? Why? Until the time of the 70th week of Daniel, the great tribulation period. That's when God is going to again deal with his people, because he's been forming his body, the church, made up of Jew and Gentile believers in Christ, forming the church. Once that's removed, now God's going to say, okay, now I'm going to focus on my people. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. The prince in verse 26 is a little horn of Daniel 7. He's also the beast of Revelation chapter 13. After the church is removed at the rapture, the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel and others for 1 week of years. Rick, I need you to make that a little clearer. How do you know the church is going to be removed before that starts? Man, I'm glad you guys are on it this morning. I love it when you're on it. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's right after 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Man, my allergies are starting to hit because I'm smelling the dust coming off the pages of your Bibles. I'm kidding. Here comes the tomatoes and all the other stuff. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 3. Again, Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. These guys, I've said it before, if I was living in this time frame, the church I would have loved to have been hanging out in would have been the church in Thessalonica. Why? Paul just poured prophecy out, man. He poured it out on these guys, and man, they grabbed it. They got a grasp on what was going on. Look at verse 3. Paul said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. The abomination of desolations in the tribulation period, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. Okay, when we did our teaching and our study through this text, the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what it says. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, the Holy Spirit. He's the restrainer of the evil. The 100% of the evil to come on us. The Holy Spirit has been restraining this. But he is not the restraining this. You know who's restraining the full sense of evil? Think about it, church. We're indwelt with what? The Holy Spirit. Our presence here is the restraining factor of all this evil. Because the Holy Spirit restrains no one. He restrains believers, right? He doesn't restrain non-believers. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So think about this. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Are you ready for this next part? And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, the second coming at the battle of Armageddon. You and I are restraining the Antichrist from coming on. The only way he could come on the scene is for us to be raptured out of here. You guys following me with this? I mean, it's heavy stuff. Israel will accept the Antichrist as her Messiah, but in the middle of the middle of the 7-year tribulation, he's going to break his covenant by placing an image in the temple, Revelation chapter 13. Between him going in and sitting in the temple and this image, this is the abomination of desolation Jesus spoke about and Daniel spoke about. What Israel thought to be the millennium with the signing of this 1 week, the 70th week of Daniel, the week of years, 7 years, will actually turn out to be the great tribulation period mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 26. It will take Jesus coming back to this earth to end this terrible, awesome time period. Jesus said of his coming in Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the 7 years, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not great glory. Well, he'll be coming with us, but great glory. Prophetically, right now, we are living in the age of grace, the 70th week of Daniel, the great tribulation period, as the Lord called it, is yet before us. The incredible news is we're not going to be here for any of it. That's why I love studying this. It's so that we can understand and grasp Bible prophecy of the time that we're living in. We got people we love, man, that we need to be sharing these things with. We believe Jesus could come at any moment. And then 7 years of hell will be unleashed on this earth. Jesus said in Matthew 24:21, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be." Terrible, man. It's going to be terrible. He went on to say in verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." If you get a chance, read Revelation 13. It covers the middle of the tribulation. Jesus warned the people to flee and go into hiding because great tribulation would hit this world and there would be no way to escape it. Luke is writing of the destruction of Jerusalem, and it actually happened by Titus and the Roman army in 70 AD. Just 40 years from that time. Just 40 years later it took place. I guess you could say what happened in 70 AD was sort of a rehearsal for what is going to happen when Satan takes his anger out on the nation of Israel and on the Gentiles who will believe during the last half of the tribulation period. We're going to see that next Sunday. You got that in Revelation 12, verses 7 to 17. The Jewish historian Josephus said nearly a million people were killed by the Romans when that took place in 70 AD. And over 100,000 were taken captive to Babylon when Titus captured the city of Jerusalem. We know this wasn't the first time Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles. The Babylonians had destroyed the city in 586 BC when many believe the times of the Gentiles actually began. You see, so the times of the Gentiles and the times of the Jewish people are coming together. That's what Daniel needed to understand in his prophecy. They join together. It's been all through this age of grace in the church. So that means as we close this morning, as believers, we're looking for our Lord's return at any moment. Any moment. The fuse could be lit. That war could happen there in Israel from the north. And then this terrible time period that we've been studying will start to take place at the signing of that seven-year peace treaty, the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. Next time, we're going to get into part three. And we're going to look at the last half of the tribulation period that is going to climax. Church, with you and I coming back with our Lord. It's exciting times, man. It's exciting times, and we have to be ready. And like Jesus said, we have to be watching. Amen? Let's pray.